From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, September 28th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation about a performance piece coming to the Stock Pavilion on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. The story talks about whales, humans, the environment, and the relationship of all three. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Some healthcare professionals trying to get licensed in Illinois have been delayed more than a year and a half. It's part of an ongoing bottleneck at the state's Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. Lawmakers were told dentists, doctors, and others have had to turn patients away because they weren't licensed in time. Mario Treto runs that department. He said at a hearing yesterday that chronic understaffing, more licensed applicants, and old technology are partially to blame.
The limitations on the system mean that as more professions are added to our purview, we as an agency are unable to incorporate them into the online application. Consequently, we are required to use paper applications, which take longer to review and process.
Treto said the department was close to getting new licensing software after months of work, but the deal fell apart earlier this week. He did not say why. Lawmakers asked Treto for at least monthly updates. A coalition of pro-abortion rights groups is planning to protest today outside of a fundraising event in Chicago for crisis pregnancy centers. Aid for Women is hosting the event. It's a Catholic church and operates centers that discourage abortion. Lisa Battisfor is with Reproductive Transparency Now and says Aid for Women has been promoting abortion pill reversal.
This is involving taking hormones, encouraging people to not follow through on the abortion pill regimen after they've already started it. There is demonstrated proof that this could actually be actively causing harm.
The American Medical Association has condemned the procedure as unethical and unscientific. Aid for Women declined to comment. The end of cash bail in Illinois means those who are waiting on a trial can avoid jail time unless they pose a danger to society. But as IPM's May Antar reports, people are lining up on both sides of the new law.
Many, including Vermilion County's state attorney Jacqueline Lacey, are concerned about public safety.
I'm worried that victims aren't going to have a voice, not like they used to, that, you know, they're not going to be able to be located or their offender, their, you know, perpetrator is going to be released.
Others, like James Gilmore, support the end of cash bail. He's director of advocacy for First Followers Reentry Program in Champaign.
After all, they are innocent, and according to the law, innocent until proven guilty, but the practice that we've been putting into place has been guilty until proven innocent.
Gilmore, who spent time in prison, says the law protects low-income and people of color from being disproportionately affected. May Antar, IPM News.
Champaign-Urbana Pride Fest started last Saturday and will continue through this Sunday. IPM reporter Owen Henderson has more on some of this week's events.
For this Saturday's Pride Parade in Urbana, the Grand Marshals will be a group of local LGBTQ elders. Among them, drag stars, the founder of an AIDS advocacy group, and other community members. Nicole Friedman is with Uniting Pride of Champaign County, the group behind Pride Fest. She says she wanted to make sure that in addition to the celebrations, people took time to appreciate the work done to advance queer rights in the U.S.
We're going backwards. And who better to help us navigate redoing the same work than the folks who have been on the front lines of this work for decades?
The Canopy Club will host a queer homecoming dance on Friday night, and the annual Pride Fair and Parade will take place in downtown Urbana on Saturday. I'm Owen Henderson, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about a performance piece coming to the Stock Pavilion in Urbana that's all about whales, their environment, and how humans interact with them. That story coming up next on 217 Today.
In season 2 of the hit British mystery series Professor T, academic Jasper Tempest and the team return to confront a series of crimes, including a mysterious fire in a student block and the tragic murder of an entire family. Meanwhile, Professor T navigates conflicts with multiple women, including his mother, his therapist, and the love of his life. Friends of WILL can stream all 6 episodes of season 2 right now and catch up on season 1 with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The Unreliable Bestiary is a performance series about animals, their environments, and how humans interact with them. Deke Weaver's lifelong project is presenting a performance for each letter of the alphabet, and so far includes monkey, elephant, wolf, bear, and tiger. Cetacean, also known as whale, is the 6th installment of the project and runs Thursday, September 28th through Monday, October 2nd at the Stock Pavilion on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. IPM reporter Owen Henderson and I spoke with Weaver and Jennifer Allen, the co-director and collaborator for Cetacean, about the inspiration and meaning behind this performance and the series as a whole. Dee, can you start by telling us how you even came up with the idea for the Unreliable Bestiary?
Kind of started with some of the big, like Sierra Club, World Wildlife Federation, they'll call the charismatic megafauna. So like the big animals that, you know, they're sort of the superstars of the zoos and cartoons, and starting with monkey, elephant, and then getting into all the complicated stuff around our relationships with the different kinds of animals and the environment and us and economics. The animals end up kind of almost being like barkers at the door of the carnival tent. You get people in the tent and you start spelling out all the different sort of ways that we're all interconnected and how a lot of those connections are starting to fray.
Jennifer, how did you initially get brought in?
We both do share a passion about the environment and the natural world. I grew up in Oregon. He grew up in Minnesota. I grew up in Oregon in the 70s, which I think was even like a further layering of environmentalism and awareness and caring about trees and environment. And then when I moved to New York and lived in a really urban environment, I was introduced to a lot of people who really hadn't had any experience with the outdoors and didn't think of it as important in any way. And so that's been a common passion of ours, is giving voice to the voiceless.
In the description of the bear performance, you tied in with the idea of the bear's hibernation cycle, the story of Persephone from Greek myth, and like the cycle of climate. And I was curious just how you kind of came to weave that part into this performance that might at the outside seem like a solely environmentally focused thing.
I think what this show does a lot is juxtaposing facts about parts of the environment that are really having a hard time because of all kinds of different things, of things we take for granted, like plastic, and how when you make plastic, it's made with forever chemicals that when they leach out of plastic that's breaking down, it gets into life cycles, and they're endocrine disruptors. They really affect animal systems, human systems, our connections with animal systems, with life systems all around the world, and you just kind of take the plastic for granted. And so you take these things that are starting to break the world down, and you're putting them up against stories where it's just very simple and very stark stories about animals and people and water and the sun and just the very simple sort of myths, and putting those things up against each other. And I think there's a kind of power there in that juxtaposition, the rubbing up against of those two different places.
Breaking down the concerns about animals and humans and everything that's going on in the world can seem like it could be kind of heavy. Is there any hope in this kind of man versus nature scenario?
People face their shadow and their light daily, and there is always an equal balance of both, even though it seems like things are dark now. The reality of nature is that it is always balanced.
One thing that has just come up over the last year and a half, which is really interesting, is that there are 4 different mechanisms of whales and what they do in the ocean that make them kind of the single easiest way to kind of fight climate change. One of the things to do is whale poo is very good for the plants, the phytoplankton. And phytoplankton is the biggest producer of oxygen, the sequestering of carbon, I think, on the planet. It's like 40% is like produced by phytoplankton. And so the more whales there are, the more carbon is going to get sequestered. And so being able to understand how big whale populations are and protect whale populations, it's only going to help.
On that, like, hopeful note, I think that's that. Thank you guys both so much for taking the time to come in and talk to us.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Cetacean runs September 28th through October 2nd at the Stock Pavilion in Urbana. Krannert Center for the Performing Arts is an underwriter of Illinois Public Media. For more information, visit ipmnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will turn partly cloudy with a high of 75 degrees. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Mawa Iqbal, May Antar, and Owen Henderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.